1 Samuel this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. And we've been thinking about this morning, studying about this. I know this is very, very familiar scripture. And probably the most familiar scripture in the Bible, I guess. Everybody knows about David and Goliath. I think even the world out there knows about David and Goliath. Amen. But it is a familiar scripture. And if you know anything, well, I don't guess nobody knows because I guess I'm the only preacher here. But us preachers, when we get into a scripture that has been preached many, many times, one of the things the old devil throws in the back of your mind is, well, that's been preached on 100 times. How are you going to get anything else out of that they ain't heard? But I'm glad to say there's nothing new under the sun and out of the Word of God. Amen. It's Jesus. It's all Jesus. Amen. But the Word of God is alive, and you'll find something out brand hammer new out of every single verse. Amen. I could preach out of this, come back tonight, preach again. You'll find something else, I promise you, out of the Word of God, because the Word of God is alive, and I sure do thank God for that. So we'll pick up about verse number 20 this morning, and I started not to read all of it, all the story and all the account, but I do believe that's what the Lord has us do, is go ahead and read it. But we are going to take our text about verse number 38 down to about verse number 40 and look at a little bit of stuff here. I was noticing the song that they just sung a minute ago about He'll Do It All Again. And that song reflects and speaks of battle. The first verse there talks about being in a battle and being overcome in a battle. And then the next verse there talks about being in a valley and having a hard time making it out of the valley. And I thought, man, that's going to go right along with the message. That's just going to set the tone for the message. And I sure do thank the Lord for just moving and laying those things out like that. I want to preach this morning on a thought about preparing for the battle. Preparing for the battle. Now, I believe I could make this statement and be truthful. We'll read the scripture here in just a minute. But I believe I could make this statement and be truthful that you are in a battle, or you're going into a battle, or you're coming out of a battle. We say that a lot about storms, but I believe in our Christian life today, we all are in that position. Everybody agree with me? Say amen. Amen. If you ain't, you're more spiritual than I am. Amen. The Bible says in the scriptures over there, yea, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. In other words, there's going to be persecution to come. Amen. Job also said, I believe it was, Job said that a man is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And we could go on through. It's Paul there. You study about Paul. Paul talks about many afflictions and things that happened in his life. You cannot just go ahead and nail this down. Whoever told you that this life, this Christian life, is going to be a bed of roses, nothing's going to go wrong, they lied to you, okay? If you live godly, you're going to have to try your best, amen? You're going to have to do everything you can. You're going to have to fight. Paul said again in one place there, I believe it's, if I remember correctly, it's in 2 Timothy, the last book that he ever wrote, probably some of the last words that he ever wrote. He said this, I have fought a good fight. I've finished the course. In other words, he said, I've run a good race. I've finished the course. In other words, he's fought. Listen, the thought is this morning, if you're going to live for Christ, you're going to have to fight the battle. If you're going to live for God, you're going to do what he wants you to do. You're going to be a battle in the flesh. You're going to be battling the devil. You're going to be battling his imps. You're going to be battling his demons. You're going to be battling those things, okay? Would everybody agree with me? Say amen. Amen. All right, we want to nail that down before we go any farther. But I believe as we look into David here, David knowed how to fight the battle. But now this is something that's kind of amazing to me. And I started to title the message this, David's First Battle. Because if you read in 1 Samuel here, when he goes up against Goliath, this is the first battle that David's ever been involved in. David's been out there in the fields keeping his flock, keeping his father's flock. He's been out there taking care of the sheep. He ain't been fighting the battle. He's never put a sword on. He's never put a helmet on. He's never went to battle with the Philistines. But now we come here into 1 Samuel chapter number 17, and we find that he finds himself in the battle. So I guess we can look at David here and think in our minds, how did he fight the battle? How did he prepare himself? And that's kind of what we want to look at. But I can say this again before we read the scriptures. Let me say one more thing here. This is the first of many battles that David had. When we say it's his first battle, it is. He stepped out there and he fought against Goliath. But this is not the only battle that David ever had. Well, this is just the beginning. Amen. All the way life, he began to fight against the Philistines and against others, and he fought all the way through. Seemed like his whole life, he had to fight against his own son. I mean, he fought every time he turned around. He was a fighting. So I want to say this to you, kind of laying the foundation for the message this morning, is this: preparing for the battle. We better do some preparing. We better get ready. Amen. And how are you going to do that, preacher? Well, I'm going to show you in the scripture how he prepared for the battle. If you will, stand with us for the reading of God's word this morning. And we'll begin reading in chapter number 17, about verse number 20 there somewhere. We'll pick up somewhere in there. If you remember the first part of the chapter there, David's father has asked him to go down there and take some cheese and stuff to the troops and to his brethren and see how they fare. In other words, see how they're doing on the battlefield. And we come up here and we pick up in verse number 20 here. And this is where David has rode into the camp there. Notice verse number 20. And David rose up early in the morning, and he left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. And for Israel and Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according unto the same words, and David heard him. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy the Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, and the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to this man that killeth Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why comest thou down hither, and with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the knowledge of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another and spake the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And David said to and Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistines." And Saul said unto David, "Go, the Lord be with thee." And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said unto David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of the Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistines arose and came and drew nigh to meet David. And David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling, and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your grace, your mercy, your long-suffering. God, I thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. I thank you, God, that it is alive. Thank you, Lord, that you illuminate it to us. Thank you, Lord, that we can find so many things in it, Father, and how you bless us and feed us out of your word. Lord, I pray this morning, God, that you'd touch us and you'd help us, Lord, as we stand this morning. Lord, I know I stand in a great need. Lord, I confess to you, Lord, my inability and my unworthiness this morning, Lord, to be able to stand here. But God, I beg you, you'd hide me behind the old rugged cross, hide me behind this pulpit. Come and speak those words, Lord, needs to be heard here today. God, we pray. Lord, I ask you, God, that you'd anoint my voice, that I might be able to lift it to the heavens and might be able to preach us the word of God the way you'd see fit, Lord, we ask. Now, Father, again, if there's one in our midst this morning that's lost, oh, God, please reach in that heart. Oh, God, please draw them an old-fashioned altar that they might be saved. God, we pray. Have thy own will today, Lord, and I'll give you praise, honor, and glory for that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I know that was a lot of reading, but I love to read this story. And this is probably one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I get plumb excited when I see little old David standing up there and looking at him and says, Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And he defied the armies of living God. I get plumb excited about that. Amen. I don't know about you, but that excites me. You might sit at home, watch a movie with a little action in it. You get excited about it. I got news for you. You can read the Word of God right there and get excited about it. Amen. But I do love this study. I love this scripture here. But what I want to do this morning is we want to focus in on about verse number 38 there, verse number 38, 39, and 40 here, and think in our minds about preparing for the battle. Again, every one of us, we are in battles or we are going into battles, and we better be preparing for that. Amen. You don't need to wait till you get into that battle to prepare. You better prepare now. Amen. I don't know what you're going through in your life, but I'll promise you this. If you're a born-again child of God, I'll promise you, you battle the flesh every day. Amen. Paul said he crucified the flesh every day. Amen. I'll guarantee you battle the devil every day. I guarantee you every place you go, you'll see sin on every hand. You'll see temptation everywhere you turn. You'll see all these things. And it is a battle to stay away from that in a Christian life. Amen. I believe that. But oh, I'm glad the Lord gives us a chance and gives us a place that we can prepare for the battle, that we can withstand that temptation. Amen. You remember the scripture
scripture over there where he talked about that by every temptation he provides a way of escape. Everybody remember that? Well, most of the time, if you listen to me closely now, most of the time God gives us that way before we ever get there. He don't get us into that place and then prepare a way of escape, but he's already prepared you a way before you ever get there. And a lot of times that way is you studying in the Word of God and finding and preparing yourself and getting ready for that battle. Amen. That's the way it is a lot of times. So I want to give you three things. I'm going to be very brief this morning, and I'm just going to move on very quickly. Number one, I believe there's an inward preparation. Inside of you, you must prepare for the battle. Amen. Right down deep in here. Now you say, preacher, I don't understand what you're talking about. Well, if you look at David here, we could look in and we could focus in on about verse 38 through verse 40 here, and we'll do that here in just a second. But I believe the preparation for David starts way on back before we ever get to verse 38 here. If you notice back there in verse number 20 that I began to read there, we find David there riding into the camp, and we find him bringing the cheese there and trying to see how his brethren fare. In other words, taking care of his brethren just as his father told him to do. Amen. Can I say to you, the first step, and listen to me closely, the first step for you preparing for the battle is for you to do what the Father said to do. Amen. That's first and foremost. Amen. I find in my Christian life, when I'm right exactly where God wants me to be, I have a whole lot better time, a whole lot easier time fighting the battles. Would you agree with me? Say amen. I believe everyone else agree with that. When we're exactly where God tells us to be and where he leads us and guides us, we'll find that the battle's a whole lot easier there because we're doing what the Father told us to do. Amen. I look at David there. Yes, he's been on the field. Yes, he's been up there with the sheep. Yes, he's been up there taking care of them as a shepherd there. But his father calls him to go down to the battle. His father calls him to go down there and to see how his brethren fare. He didn't call him to go down there and fight the battle. He didn't call him to go down there and do that, if you will, and send him down there to do that. But that's what happened. Amen. His daddy didn't even realize what was going to happen down there. But God knew. Can I say that again? God knew, amen. Can I say to you, God already knows your battles? Amen. Listen, God already knows what you're getting ready to go through this week. He knows your Goliath that's going to stand up there in front of you, and he's already prepared you a way to take care of those. Amen. I'm glad he's out there ahead of us. Amen. I'm glad for the foreknowledge of God that I know he's already out there looking at those battles. Amen. And preparing me and giving me what I need to fight those battles. Amen. I thank God for that. So the first thing we see is that the preparation was already down in his heart. I'm talking about inside. I believe I could say this and be truthful in saying this, that when you get to where God wants you to be, and in the center of God's will, ain't that a peaceful place? Oh, I don't know about you, if that's the best place I ever been. Amen. And I'll go on the other side, okay? When you get away from God and you're not where God wants you to be, that's the most miserable place you can ever be. Amen. But if we'll stay where God wants us to be and where he's told us to be and where he's called us to be, then when we get in that place, I believe that's the preparation to fight the battle that's coming up. Amen. And that is inward speaking, okay? That's wanting to do and having a desire to do the will of God. Let me ask you a question right here before I move on. Lord, just nudging my heart right here. Do you have a desire to do what God wants you to do? Do you have a desire down in your heart to say, Lord, I want to walk in your footsteps wherever you want to guide me, wherever you want to lead me. I want to follow you and you only. Amen. If you have that desire will be way down deep. Amen. It'll be inside. I believe he gives us that desire when we're saved. Amen. I believe we have that desire. Now, will we always do that? Not necessarily. We stray. I understand that. But he does give us a desire deep down inside of us to want to follow him and do what he tells us to do. Notice with me in the scriptures here. I got to move on. I notice number two, not only will we be where we need to be with the Lord, but we'll also see a need to fight. Notice with me, if you will, in verse 29. I like this. Verse 28, David goes there into the camp, and his brother there, Eliab, he looks at him and said, what are you doing down here? Who'd you leave him a little few sheep with there? You know what happened right here? He got jealous. He got plumb aggravated. Now this, listen, Eliab, his elder brother, he was a man of war. I mean, he was already fought the battle. He's already in the midst of the battle right there. He's the one, can I say this? He's the one back there in the foxhole scared to death. And because he's scared to death, and now he's seen his little brother walk up there and say, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this rascal? Who is the one that's got you down here in the trenches scared to death?" And when David says that, he begins to ridicule him. He begins to rebuke him. Well, notice what verse 29 says. David says this, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Israel and the nation of Israel and the army of Israel is in the trenches scared to death. They got their tail tucked between their legs like a little old puppy dog running. And yet they're standing down there, and yet Goliath's standing up there. Is there not a cause?" Amen. I got to looking at this and I thought to myself, I thought, wow, David, man, he's standing up there, and every one of them, I believe we could say this, every one of them scared to death, but David's ready to fight. Amen. Can I make this statement here? And I believe I'll be right in making this statement here. There's a time to fight. Amen. There is a time to fight. I believe that. And I believe that's what David said right here. Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason to stand up and fight? Is there not a reason to stand up there and fight? Hey, listen, in your Christian life, I believe I could say this to you. Is there not a reason? Amen. I believe when we get into those battles, I believe there's a reason to fight. Amen. Too many times we care down to the devil and we care down to this old flesh and we let it get the best of us and we lose the victory. Amen. We lose the battle. But oh, if we'll stand up like David did and we'll stand up there and say, "No, sir, I'm going to fight the battle. I'm going to put forth some effort and I'm going to fight the battle." Amen. Hey, listen, there's a time to fight. I believe that. There's a time to stand. And this was a time. When you get into those battles this week and your flesh tries to take you a different direction than God wants you to go, you've got the devil on every hand, sins all around you, tempting you, trying to get you to go a certain way. Hey, you just stand up, take the word of God, and fight the battle. Amen. There's a need there. Preacher, what's the need? Well, I believe there's some men there that need to see you fighting. What about the youngins back at the house? What about mama back at the house? I got to thinking about this and looking at this, and Brother Kevin, I'd never seen this before. I got to thinking about them men in those trenches there. They had families. Now, if they lost the battle, what happened to their families? Huh? What happened to those families back there? They could be killed. Their women ravaged, their wives ravaged, if you will. Their youngins killed, or at least took into bondage there. I believe there's a cause for us to fight. Amen. They see you not fighting. They see you in the trenches with your tail tucked between your legs, scared to death. You know what your wife and the youngins going to do? They're going to do to suffer for that. Amen. And ain't nothing good can come out of that. It's time we fight the battle and we kill the Goliath, amen. We kill the devil, we kill those battles there and we take it and go on, amen. Hey, I believe today we ought to fight the fight, the good fight of faith, amen. We ought to fight that fight. Let me give you number 3. Not only do we need to be where God wants us to be. Number 2, there's a cause. We need to fight the battle. Number 3, I noticed the faith of David. Wow, the faith of David. Now, I got to take this second. I got to slow down just a minute to get you to understand and see exactly where David's at, okay, on this scripture. Notice with me verse number 26. Verse number 26. The Bible says here, "And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to this man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Wow, what a statement. Maybe I'm just crazy, okay? If I am, just leave me alone. I'm having a good time, okay? But when I read that, that just puts a oomph in me. I love it. David is a ruddy boy. David is nothing but a youth. David's got a fair countenance, and I just seen something in that fair countenance there. In other words, he was handsome. Everybody talked about the handsome, somebody or men the handsome. That's what David was. He's handsome. Well, I got news for you. A warrior out there on the field, a warrior on the battlefield, he sure ain't handsome. Why? Because he's got scars, he's got blood, he's got nicks, he's got probably broken bones. I mean, he looks like he's been through the mill. But yet little old David, handsome, ruddy youth, walking through here, comes into the camp, sees Goliath out there, and steps back, looks, says, "Who is this guy? Who is this guy? What are y'all doing back here? Let's take care of that. God's got this battle. Let's take care of it." Can I say this right here? Listen to me closely here. I've seen a lot of our young'uns stands up and does the same thing. Amen. I've seen a lot of young'uns in Baptist churches and places I've been and preached. I've seen a lot of young'uns stand up and basically do the same thing. God's got this. Huh? God can take care of this. Amen. And you know what that does? Boy, that just puts something inside of me. You know why they do that? It's because of faith. Amen. They've got faith. I'm talking about an inward preparation. When you go into battle, you better go into battle with faith. I guarantee you every battle that has been won, they went in with faith in their mind. They went in with, we're going to fight the battle and we're going to win the battle. That's the way David was. David couldn't see defeat. When David went up against Goliath, he couldn't see defeat. I mean, he's standing there as a little old ruddy youth boy with a sling and a staff and a shepherd's crib, and he's going against a Goliath that's 9 foot, 6 inches tall. I mean, looks like a wall standing there. And he's going up against this man. He ain't worried about the battle. He's got faith. He knows God's going to take care of it. Amen. You say, "Preacher, I don't know about that." Oh, yeah. He's got faith. He knows that he's going to take care of it. Look at verse number 32. Let me give you this real quickly. Verse number 32, the Bible says, "And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." I like that. I guess I'm being a little mean right there, but I like that. The whole army of Israel and all their armor, their swords, their coats of mail, I mean breastplates, shields, a whole 9 yards, and they're lined up in the ditch back here in the trench back here. I mean, they're scared to death. Little old David walks up and says, "I'll take care of him." Is that not what you read? Don't worry about it. Don't let your heart fail. This servant, I'll go take care of it. Now you could almost do like Eliab here and almost say, "Well, he's a little bit arrogant." No, David ain't got an arrogant bone in his body. David's got faith. David knows God will take care of that. David knows if he goes into battle against this man, that God will take care of that Goliath. Amen. He'll take care of it. Oh, I like that. That's faith. Listen to me. There has to be an inward preparation. When you're going up against a battle, somebody's going to have a battle this week. You're going to go into a battle this week maybe that you ain't never had before. If you do, you need to prepare now. You need to prepare it in your heart that you're going to stay where God wants you to be, that you're going to have, know there's a reason to fight, and you're going to stay in there with that faith, and that's the way you're going to win that battle. There's no other way. We got to prepare the battle, amen? I'm just talking about in here. I'm talking about inwardly. I'm talking about your spirit. You've got to have those three things to get in there and fight the battle. Well, let me give you number two. Not only do we have an inward preparation, but there's also got to be an outward preparation. You've got to get ready on the outside. Now listen, I'm not talking about necessarily getting your clothes on. But I'm talking about an outward preparation. Look with me at verse 38. I told you we'd finally get over there. Verse number 38. The Bible says here, verse number 38, "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, save to go, for he approved not prove them." We find here, and I could ask you the question here, well, David got his sword, David got his coat of mail there, and David got his shield, and boy, he went into battle. That ain't what happened, was it? But I believe if we looked at the picture of David here, when he's got all this on, we might get a picture of how we try ourselves to fight the battle. Would you agree with me? Say amen. We're using the armor of the world, if you will, the armor of ourselves to fight the battle, and it ain't going to work. Just go ahead and say amen to Romans 1 there. It's done been preached to me. Somebody say amen. Hey, listen. I believe as we look at this scripture here, we see a picture of what we look at trying to go out there and fight the battle on our own. Notice with me first thing that he says there in verse number 38. The Bible says, "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head." Now, I noticed the scripture when he said a helmet of brass. When you read over there in the book of Ephesians, I believe it is, or maybe Galatians, I believe it is, where it talks about the armor of God, it talks about a helmet there, don't it? But it don't say a helmet of brass. Preacher, why is that? Well, look in your Bibles, you'll see that brass speaks of judgment. If we try to go out and we fight the battle on our own, we've already got judgment upon us. We're going out there with a judgment, if you will, upon us. We're all, if you will, with judgment coming down, if you will, upon us. Amen. When we're not right with God and we're away from God, we have judgment upon us because we've not followed Him. Okay? That's where David's at. That's where he puts this helmet on, even though it's Saul's helmet. Even though it's, boy, I'm guaranteeing you, it's big, and I guarantee you, it'll work. Amen. If somebody hits you in the head, it'll work. But it'll not work in God's battle. But we try to do it on our own, don't we? We try to get that brass, that brass helmet, we try to go out there on. Notice what else he says here. He said he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. Now I looked at that coat of mail, and the Lord gave me this thought. That's just, if you will, the weight of the world upon you. The weight of the old flesh upon you. I wonder how heavy that was. I wonder how heavy that coat of mail was. You reckon it weighed about 2 ounces? You reckon it weighed 5 pounds? I'll bet you it weighed close to 50 pounds. Maybe even 100. I don't know. The Bible don't say. You can study it out when you go home. But I guarantee you it was heavy. And a little old ruddy youth, a little old ruddy boy going out there, I guarantee he'd be like, huh? I mean, he'd raise his arm to go to fight. I mean, he'd be everything he could do. That's the way we are when we try to do it on our own. We have no strength of ourselves. We can do nothing within ourselves. When we got that old, we got the weight of ourselves upon us, we can't fight the battle. Oh, no, we got to get rid of that. We can't fight the battle. Notice with me, read on what he says here. He said he had a helmet of brass upon his head, also armed with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor. I looked at that sword and I thought to myself, well, what could that represent? Well, when I thought about that, I thought about, if you will, just the wisdom of the world, if you will. The wisdom of ourselves. Oh, I got this. I got this. Now listen to me closely here. When a sword, someone had a sword, those swords, from what I can study, those swords were significant to a certain individual. When you seen Saul's sword, his sword didn't look like somebody else's sword. This is the king's sword. I mean, this thing is beautiful. This thing maybe, I don't know, maybe had gold on it. Maybe had jewels in it. I mean, this is the king's sword. This thing's beautiful. And David could have took this thing up and said, boy, if anybody can kill Goliath, I can now. I've got the king's sword, son. I can do it. I can do it. And you know what had happened? David had been killed. David would have lost the battle. But what happened was, he couldn't go with that sword. That sword is the wisdom of ourselves. We can't go in the wisdom of us, ourselves. We can't go with earthly wisdom. We got to go with the wisdom of the Word of God. We got to go with Jesus. Let Him lead us. Amen. Let Him take care of it. But he could have took that sword and went out there and said, boy, I got the king's sword. I can fight it now. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, if you do that, you'll lose the battle this week. You'll lose that battle that's coming up. If you don't, listen. If you go out there with that sword, that mentality of I can do it on my own, I can take care of it on my own, I got enough knowledge to do it, I guarantee you'll lose the battle. Guarantee you'll lose the battle, amen. And that's what David, when I looked at this, I saw David there, standing there. Saul had put him on there. Saul had done everything he could do. David is going out despite everything. Whether he told him to or not, David is going on. If you notice verse 37 up there, he told Saul, told David there, he said, God be with you. In other words, just good luck. That's all he'd say. And he girded him in that mail, put that sword on him, that helmet on him, he's getting ready to go. Then the Bible says this, verse 38, notice. He said he essayed the gold, for he had not proved them. That word essayed there means that he stopped. He means he didn't go. He said, I can't go with these. I can't fight with this. Boy, it's a good day in your life when you realize you can't fight the battle on your own. Can I make that statement one more time and everybody look this way? It's a good day in your life when you realize you can't fight the battle with your hands, on your own, with the things that we've got in our hands. You can't fight that battle that way. It cannot be done, church. It cannot be done. Well, preacher, what do I do? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I got to move on to the next part. Notice what he says here. He took off all that old stuff. Where's another message in itself? He got rid of the coat of mail, amen. He got rid of that helmet of brass, that judgment is upon him. He got rid of that sword that looked so beautiful that he thought he could kill anybody with. He got rid of all that. Then you know what he grabbed a hold of? He grabbed a hold of a staff. Notice what he says, verse 39. The last part of this. He says, and David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand. This is David's armor. This is the armor that he needs to go with. He put his staff in his hand. You know what he grabbed hold of? That he knew. That had stuck with him for years and years and years. You remember the verses just up, a few verses there, about 36 somewhere in there. I guess it is 35, 36 somewhere in there. Where old Saul's talking to him and he said, you can't go out there and fight against Goliath. Since you ain't but a youth and he's a warrior from his youth. He said, you can't go out there and fight. And David said this. He said, there's a lion and a bear come out. And he said, he come and they took one of the lambs, one of the sheep. And he said, I went out there and I slew them. I wonder what he used. I think he used that staff. He knew that staff would work. Amen. Now, again, David's a little old youth. He's a small boy. How did he kill that lion, that bear? Huh? He didn't do it by strength, amen. He didn't do it by strength, but he did it because God helped him to do it. He took that staff and he killed the lion and the bear because God had told him, God had helped him to do that. David said, it'll work on Goliath. This staff I've been using, it worked on the lion, it worked on the bear. It'll work on Goliath. He'll take care of it. Can I tell you this, church? If you'll just stay with God, it'll work. Just stay with what God's already done in your life. How many times He's helped you through. How many times He's, amen. How many times He's blessed you, amen. And took you through battles. Just stick with that, amen. God will take care of the rest, amen. That staff, amen. It may have been wore out, but it'll still work, amen. Because it ain't in the staff, but it's in the power of God, amen. That's what it's through. It's the power of God. Just stick with that staff, amen. Oh, I like that. Notice what else he says. He says this, he set a staff in his hands, and then the Bible says this, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. 5 smooth stones. Now notice the word chose there. I noticed that word and I thought to myself, he chose the difference. Now, can I say this to you right here? Listen to me closely. You've got a choice to make. The fact of the matter is, there's a battle coming. Okay, we've done established that. The fact of the matter is, there is a battle coming. But you've got a choice to make of which armor you're going to go to battle with. What you're going to fight with, you've got a choice. And David made that choice to put off all those old things and to reach down and grab his staff and to reach down and choose 5 smooth stones. He chose those stones over that metal, over that sword and that shield and all those things. He chose those 5 through smooth stones. Why, preacher? Because they'll work. It's what God had told him to do, okay? God told him to do that. He chose 5 smooth stones. By the way, 5's a number of grace. Amen. There's more in that than man preaching. Amen. Thank God. He 5 smooth stones there. And he chose those 5 smooth stones to fight the battle with. Notice what else he did. Bible says he put them in a shepherd's bag. Notice the word put. He put them into a shepherd's bag. In other words, he kept them close to where he's at. Now, you say, preacher, why do you say that? Because I'm going to back up and hit just a little more of this, okay? I said it that way for a reason. When you see 5 smooth stones, I see the stones there. Is that not a rock? You see a stone, it's small, yes, but is it not a rock?
Right. Did David not say, "He is my rock and my fortress"?
Amen. You know what he did? He got a hold of God. Amen. Amen. He got a hold of God. That's what he chose. Amen. Is that rock there? Well, notice where he got it from. He got it from the brook. Amen. He got it out of the water. Amen. Where's the water, preacher? That's the water of the word, is it not? Amen. That's what'll fight your battle for you, is when Jesus, you grab a hold of Jesus and you put him in that bag close to you, and you get him out of the word of God, and you keep him in there close to you. Amen. And then you can fight the battle. Until you do that, until you make a visit down to the brook, you cannot fight the battle. Until you reach and grab some stone, till you get Jesus, you can't fight the battle, amen. Oh, but I'm glad today I can get those five smooth stones, amen. Thank God, I can fight the battle with that. He put it in a script, but notice, he says this. I like the last part of this. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. His sling was in his hand. That sling that he carried with him for years. That sling that he had went to kill the lion and the bear and to drive off the animals. And he kept it with him. Can I say this to you? Fighting the battle, just use what God's give you. It's worked for how many years? I've been preaching, I was thinking there yesterday, and I feel like I'm getting old. Maybe I am, maybe I ain't, I don't know. But I've been preaching about 27 years roughly. Might be a little older, farther than that. I guess I really get thinking about 27 years. I guess it is. And you know what? I'm preaching the same gospel. I ain't preaching nothing new to you. I ain't got nothing new because nothing new will work. This old new junk won't work. But that King James Bible will work. Amen. Preaching Jesus will work. Amen. Staying with the Holy Ghost, it'll work. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm going to fight the battle with what he's given me. Amen. I'm going to fight the battle with what I have in my hands. And that's what David did. He had the sling in his hands and he went to battle with that sling. Let's just stick with it. Amen. Fight the battle what God gave you. Amen. I notice in that scripture, and I like this. And the Bible says this, looking at verse 40 I read to you there. He says, the Bible, and he had a sling in his hand. And he stood back and said, all right, come on, Goliath. Is that what the Bible says? That's what your Bible says? No. What'd he do? He took off towards him. I mean, he went towards him. He wasn't going to stop. Amen. He's standing back there heading towards him. Amen. And he's going to take care of him. Amen. Just listen. Don't be on the defensive. We need to be on the offensive. We need to be taking care of business. Amen. So let's fight the battle. But if we do, we're going to have to fight it inwardly. We're going to have to prepare inwardly. And then we're going to have to prepare outwardly. This that I'm talking about here, outwardly, he's getting ready. Oh, you better settle in your heart you got faith. You better settle in your heart you want to be where God wants you to be. You better settle in your heart. There's a reason to fight. But at the same time, you better step back and you better take and you better grab the things that you need to fight that battle that God's give you. Amen. Let me give you one more thing and I'll close right here. I believe we need to prepare inwardly. We need to prepare outwardly. But I believe we need to prepare for future battles. Future battles. I noticed this scripture, and I said a minute ago, the first of the message, and I'm closing. At the first of this message, I mentioned that this was David's first battle. And he had many, many more to come. If you study your scriptures after David kills Goliath, the Bible says there that he stood on him. Took his sword, got it out of his sheath, and cut his head off. Killed him and cut his head off. And if you read on down through that, it says this, that David took Goliath's armor. Well, let me back up. He first took his head. Say amen right there. You say, preacher, that's plum, ugh. Huh? That's plum gory. Huh? I don't know about you, but I'd like to take a devil's head. And I mean that with all, I believe I'm right in that, amen. I believe that's spiritual. Amen. I believe we need to take his head from him, amen. And we can do that with the Holy Ghost, amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, the Bible says. We can do that. But he said he took it back up yonder to Jerusalem. It's where he took Goliath's head. He defeated the devil. I thought about, boy, that's a picture. When we come in here in the house of God, you'll tell how good God's been to you this week. And if you've won the battle and you fought the battle and you've won, you'll stand up and tell about it, amen. Said, I took care of the devil this week. God's given me grace. God's helped me. Thank God for that. Amen.
But then notice, if you will, in the scriptures, he says this, that he took his armor and his sword, and where'd he put it? He took it up there to the house of God. Read with me, verse number 41, I believe it is. Let me find it very quickly. I'm sorry, verse number 54. The Bible says, and David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem and put his armor in his tent. His armor in his tent. In other words, he took it up there to the house of God. And if you study in the scriptures over there, about verse Samuel, about verse 21, chapter number 21, you know what happens there? He needs that later on. He needs that sword later on, and he goes and gets the sword and fights the battle. Can I say this to you? You need the victory today for the battle tomorrow. What God gives you today, that victory you need, that victory that he gives you today, you better carry it over to the next battle. He's preparing you. I say it one more time. Now listen to me closely. I say one more time that he is preparing. Can I say that one more time? He is preparing for your battle coming up. He already knows what you're going to be fighting this week, and he's preparing that for you. But some of that preparation might be the victory that he gives you in this battle for the next battle. Amen? I'll say this to you this morning again, in closing. We're going into a battle. You're going to fight a battle. It's up to you how you prepare for it. But I promise you, God's got what you need to have the victory in that battle. Amen? Let's stand to your feet this morning.